Friends, God has given His church and His people a very divine mission. That is to make disciples of all nations. And that is the mandate by which our particular church drives its particular expression of that mission, which is to connect young families to Christ. That means that we honestly, sincerely want to help those who are not currently on a journey with Jesus to get on a journey with Him, and help those who are already on the journey to go further in that journey. And we all want to help those to get on a journey with Jesus, but the question is, yeah, but how do we do that, right? Well, how do we do that? And there's been like a million books written on this subject. I know, because I want to say I read half of them. I own half of them. And I think there's a lot of good answers to this, but the best place to look is, well, just look at Jesus. And how did He get people to get on a journey with Him? And so the Bible, I think, provides us a really great example of this in the person of Simon Peter. Because Peter's this example of this guy who went sort of from the far left of the spectrum of journey with Jesus to the far right in just a few years. You know, he was known as one of Jesus' most devoted disciples. And we actually, because he was so written about, he was written about more than any other disciple, we can actually look at his journey and trace his journey quite accurately with Jesus. And so I want to look at the beginning of his journey with Jesus and have us to draw some insight from that. Now, if you just yourself begun your journey with Jesus, or perhaps you haven't started your journey with Him, maybe you will identify a little bit more with Peter in this story. And if you're like me, if you've been on that journey for a little bit already, then you may identify more with Jesus, right? Because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, and we're continuing the mission which He began all that time ago, to disciple all nations. And if you're here today, you probably identify very much with that. So we can pick up a lot from how Jesus draws Peter onto a journey with Himself. So look at the story right now. It comes to us from the book of the Bible called Luke, and it comes from chapter 5. It says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around Him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore." Now what's happening here? What's going on in the story? We see from the story that Jesus is deliberately choosing to get into Peter's boat, but Peter and Jesus, and they're men before, they're strangers. So Jesus is intentionally initiating an interaction here with a stranger. Right? And we know this because it says that there was two boats, and yet Jesus chose to get to the one that had Simon Peter. So He's being very intentional here with how He's interacting with Peter. Jesus is intentionally initiating an interaction with Peter. That's what's going on here. And it's a little bit like my story. I don't think I've actually shared my story here with this church before about sort of my journey to Jesus. But it kind of started at a time in my life where I was like Peter, where I knew about Jesus, but Jesus, for the most part, was a bit of a stranger to me, right? Like Peter, just living in that area of the world at that time, he probably would have heard second and third hand accounts of Jesus, this guy going around, all the stuff that he had done. But he never actually personally met Jesus. And all of this about grade 9, I had heard about Jesus, but I didn't really know him that well personally. And my family moved to a little town called Hinton. Little in Ontario terms, 10,000, but big in Alberta terms. It's about 3 hours west of Edmonton, over in a place we call Alberta. And of course, in this place, just reminding you in case you didn't know where it was. You go on an hour boat, 3.5. Go on a plane, 3.5 hours west, and you'll hit this town. And so this new town, I had to make friends all over again. But I was homeschooled at the time, so I wasn't able to meet friends in school. And so there was this Christian lady who had a daughter about my age who knew that we moved to the area. She got her daughter to invite me to a youth group at a church. And so I went there, but I was some Christian kids there, and they reached out to me. They essentially initiated a relationship with me, and that ended up growing into a friendship. And that was really, I identify that as the start of my journey towards Jesus. And so this story is similar to Peter's story, I think. And so you need to ask yourself, who do you identify with in the story? You know, to identify with Peter sitting in the boat, or if he's awkwardly standing in the church foyer, hoping someone can talk to him. We identify more with Jesus. You know, if you're here today, probably Jesus, because Christian simply means little Christ. And so we are like little Christ, and Jesus lives in us. And so because Jesus lives in us, and we are called to continue his mission, we too are called, like Jesus, to reach out to the Peter in this world, like they reached out to me. And what you need to do, I think if there's one thing you can pick up from the beginning of the story, it would be to intentionally initiate relationships with the Peters of this world. That is your task if you are a follower of Jesus. And of course, this always begins with prayer and empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. Right? We need to pray. Because God is the one who prepares people's hearts for that invitation or that relationship. He's the one that gives us the courage. He's the one that gives us the chemistry and connects us together with others. It is so important because there's opportunities out there abounding for us to make these connections, these intentional interactions with Peter, but we're missing them. And sometimes just by praying, we become aware of all those opportunities. You know, you ever pray about something, and then all of a sudden it seems like all these things arise? Like when I bought a red Hyundai, and everyone was driving a red Hyundai, I said, what's going on here? I just became aware, you know? And sometimes that's all it is. And sometimes God really is making opportunities for us because we're praying for those opportunities. And you'd be surprised. Opportunities abound. How many times are you interacting with your neighbors, your coworkers? Maybe you could join community events. You know, what about the places that you recreate? You know, the sports that you play, the games that you play. Be thinking about that. Who's around you? Who can you be inviting in? I can remember one time, when I just moved to a new house, I threw my frisbee over my neighbor's fence. And I had to go get it, but I had to ask permission to go in, and it was closed off. And that was just an opportunity. I thought it was an opportunity to start to build a relationship with them. I introduced myself, they showed me their garden. And even to this day, sometimes they still live next door to my mom, who we bought the house with. And when we go over there, sometimes once every year or two, we still see them, and we'll all see them. We've shared many a latte with them, and they're great people, you know. But that was just something that happened, but yet it was an opportunity. Right? The opportunities are there. We just have to be praying for them and looking for them, I believe. And so you need to ask yourself, who am I intentionally building relationships right now? Who am I building relationships with? You have to be. If you're not, you got to get doing that. In fact, just when I went to Edmonton last weekend, I met a lady from my old church who had found out that she's suffering from terminal cancer. And I was talking to her, and she's a lady that's always been about relationships her whole life. I said, you know what's great? Is that relationships are the only thing you get to take with you to heaven. It's the only thing. So you'll never, ever waste a second on relationships. Building relationships, never time wasting. But then say to yourself, well, geez, we shouldn't spend so much time building relationships. Never say that. Right? She didn't say that. She never regretted it. She was always talking about the relationship, even the relationship that we had. She had no regret. No regret. When it comes down to it, my friends, most people's journey with Jesus begins with a relationship with someone who's already following Jesus. That's where it begins. But the question we have is, okay, but what comes next? So let's continue in the story. It's really short, but it's very significant. The Bible says that he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So what happens next is very simple. Jesus gives his message. And Peter has an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus. Okay. Peter hears the message of Jesus. That's what happens next. And if I went back to my story, I had now these relationships with all these Christians that were my age, and we were hanging out. And as far as I can remember, I don't think any of them actually ever thought and told me the message of Jesus. They never did. But I had lots of opportunity to hear the message, to hear even bits and pieces of it, whether it was, at a church service or a youth group hangout that they invited me to. Or sometimes it was even just, in observing their conversations with one another, or how they dealt with situations. I was hearing Jesus' message, and I had opportunity to hear his message. And if we are Jesus' followers, our obligation doesn't stop with just initiating a relationship. We also have to ensure that those people have opportunity to be able to hear Jesus' message. And this, of course, begins the same way that any work of God begins, and that's by praying, right? Because by praying, we are activating the hands of God, right? And God knows what they need to hear, and how they need to hear, and when they need to hear. And he's the one who can soften their hearts, that the message can actually penetrate right into the soil of their soul. So we need to pray, and ask God, too, to empower us, because the most obvious way is that we would just verbally share it with someone else. We would verbally share the message of Jesus, the gospel with them, in some way, right? Now, I realize that some of us are uncomfortable doing that, and that may be beyond what some of you can do. Maybe that's been too much. But I would think that the least you could do is invite. I think that's one thing that every single person could do. Every single person can invite. And we've done our best to make it easy for you. At creating an experience of October 29th that will be absolutely geared to those who don't come to church. We don't know you. An event where you can invite people. It's an invitational event, right, to draw people in, right? I know that over the last several Sundays I've been sort of preaching to the choir, but I would like you to know that on October 29th and after October 29th, that this church will be a place that will do my best to create an atmosphere where you can always feel comfortable to invite anybody at any stage of their spiritual journey, even if they haven't even really started, even if they're at a 1, at a scale from 1 to 100 in their walk with Jesus, even if they're at a 1, that they could come in and they would feel welcomed and encouraged, at least they wouldn't be put off, and they would hear a message about Jesus. Maybe not always the whole message, but at least they would hear part of that message, and they could receive it. And most of all, I think when it comes to helping people hear the message of Jesus, it really has to do with simply just being honest about your own journey. Being honest about your own experiences with God. Instead of tiptoeing around them and avoiding them because you're afraid that you're going to make things awkward or uncomfortable. Yeah, I get that religion is taboo these days. That's less taboo to talk about sex than it is to talk about religion. I get that. But don't avoid it. That's what I'm saying. So if you're having a conversation with your friend, you guys are sharing stories about, cars breaking down, don't be afraid to share that story, that time when your car broke down and you prayed, and God answered your prayers and helped us provide it. Don't leave God out of that story. For me, my story is how we lately came together. Such a God story. Very intentional about not leaving God out of that story and letting people know the truth of it, right? And that's just real. Right? And these conversations, they come up organically. Someone asks you what you're reading this week. Just be honest and tell them about some of the stories in the Bible that you read and what it meant to you and how it impacted you. They ask where you were today. Tell them about the Sunday service. Don't shy away, my friend. Don't shy away. So after you get to know Peter, next step, make sure they hear the message. Right? But the last thing we do that we see in the story about Jesus is that Peter not only hears the message, but he witnesses the message firsthand. He witnesses the truth and the power of the message firsthand. This is what the story says, continuing on in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, says Jesus, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners from the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled them both up on shore, left everything, and followed him. He asked Jesus to share this message, and Peter has an opportunity to hear that message. Then he does something extraordinary to show him that that message was indeed true. And this is so important. I don't think that Peter was ready to follow Jesus before he saw that. I think Jesus could have invited him after he heard the message, and Peter would have said no. Peter had to witness the message. You don't leave everything behind and follow someone and call them Lord unless you know that this is the way. You got to witness it, right? And that's why Jesus asks him after. And when he asks him after he's witnessed the miracle, he falls down and he calls him. Now, if you go back to my story, none of my friends performed miracles. It would have been helpful maybe if they did, but they didn't. I didn't expect them to. But I did have an opportunity to witness the message firsthand, to witness it lived out. Because they were the first Christians I met that really lived out what they believed. And so if they talked about this stuff about having a relationship with God, which was really just kind of strange and foreign to me, they actually lived it out by asking Jesus for help and advice in their lives when they were trying to make decisions. If they talked about the power of God, then they lived it out by praying for things that they needed God-sized answers to prayer for, and then they would receive those answers and share about them. I mean, they were real. I witnessed, like, transformation in their lives. And that's great, because they talked about a God who transformed lives. But I was able to witness it firsthand. My friends, as Jesus followers, we need to do this. We need to initiate relationships with these Peters, make sure they hear the message, but then we also have to live it out, too. They have to be able to witness it. If they don't witness it, they're not going to care about anything that you're saying. They're going to say, "Great, that's wonderful, but I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking too loudly." My friends, don't bother inviting anyone to October 29th if you're not going to pay for their meal afterwards or help them move their furniture. Okay, they need to witness it. They're not living it out. They're just going to discard it, right? And they're going to say, it's just surface level religiosity or social conditioning, and I don't want nothing to do with that. They have to see it. They have to see it. So how do we do this? Well, you guessed it, we got to pray. We got to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the fruit of His Spirit, to live lives that are full of joy and love and happiness and kindness and goodness. And we have to do our part and just try. We got to try to live like Jesus and be like Jesus. And when people interact with us and they communicate with us, they come away feeling like, I just feel like I just met Jesus. That's so important. And they experience that. They come to this place and they experience people that are at least trying to look like Jesus. I think that'll be the world for them. And that'll prove that it's true. So to just invite a friend to the church isn't enough. You gotta live it out. And you gotta realize that this world is changing. And that people are not going to respond to the gospel the same way that they've always responded to the gospel. Okay? People, I think, are not going to be convinced to follow Jesus anymore these days, primarily because they feel that they're sinners that need to be saved, because they have all this sin in their life that needs to be cleansed. The church is always slow to recognize that the world is changing, and we need to recognize that culture is changing. It's changing with the new generation, but it's also trickling down into the rest. And the truth of the matter is that truth is relative. People. Morality is relative, which means there's no prescribed list of what is right and what is wrong. And so you can't tell me that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. It's the most offensive thing, my friend, to call someone a sinner, to say that I've done something wrong. Because as far as I know, I'm a good person. Everyone's a good person, as long as you're living true to your compass. Your own compass, what you think is right or wrong, and be true to yourself. And that's the world we live in, my friend. But the truth of the matter is, people still are spiritually hungry. And people still want something that's real. Want something that's real. And they got real problems. And they need real solutions to those problems. And often the solutions they need are beyond that which they have access to, even in this world. And so I think that people, especially those who don't know Jesus, they come to Jesus for the first time because they have a need. And Jesus can do something for them. And I get that. You know, one of the most powerful things that I do for people is I just will ask them how I can pray for them. And they tell me, and then I pray for them right there out loud. Because if you pray for them out loud, they know that you've prayed for them, for their needs. Usually they're okay with it. Ask permission first. You do this, and it gives an opportunity for God to show up and reveal himself to them. And it gives an opportunity for an answer to prayer to come, and for them to witness the message firsthand. Right? That is real. So let them pray for those people. Jesus is not a genie in the bottle. I agree. He's not just there to grant all of our wishes, but that's what people who don't know Jesus want. No one's going to follow Jesus anymore because they feel like I need to be cleansed from it. It's like they have like a need and I want. What can Jesus do for me? And it's okay when people first encounter it. The lordship over my life comes later. But first I just need to know that Jesus can do something for me. So sometimes I just ask people, I say, what do you want Jesus to do for you? I'll say, if Jesus could do just one thing for you, what would it be? And this is non-believers, and they'll tell me, okay, why do you believe in a God of miracles? Can I pray for you? And sometimes it's not a miracle thing. Sometimes it's a small thing. I'll say, okay, well, I believe that God loves me. I can pray for that. You pray for that, Jesus shows up. People today, I think, are going to be drawn to the power and the presence of God. In the words of Dr. Rob Reiner, more people today will be convinced not because they feel that they are a sinner that needs to be saved, but because they witness the true power and the presence of God in their lives. My friends, they want to come to church and feel the presence of God. They want to know that there's something real there. They want to experience this power in their lives. And they expect that if we believe in a God that is powerful and miraculous and who we have a personal relationship with, then they would expect him to speak to us. And they would expect that we would pray often and see those prayers answered. And then we would have more joy and less sin in our lives than the average person. And I think the Bible would agree with us in that. In summary, my friends, we're called to do all that we can to help accomplish God's mission, which he gave us. And that means reaching out to those who don't know the good news about Jesus. That is the only way that we're going to connect young families to Jesus. And we can do that by intentionally initiating relationships with those people, like Jesus did with Peter, right? We do this by making sure they have an opportunity to hear Jesus' message. I like this. That's right there. I like that. And number three, that they witness the truth of that message firsthand. That's what we can do. And if each of us can do this, I think we could have so many baptisms in this church, we would have to be renting hot tubs. If everyone can do this. And that's what I'm calling for you on. I'm calling for everyone to do this. If everyone could do this with at least one person, just make that your mission. Man, incredible things would happen. And we as a church want to equip you. We don't want to say, oh, just do this. And we're just going to like scold you every week and say, do this. And then you'll be like, no, we want to help and equip you. And we want you to see that's what October 29th is about. It's about equipping you, making this a place where you could invite someone. And you would feel welcome and encouraged to do that. A website that's not embarrassed, you're not embarrassed to send them to. Right? Thank you, Saji, website team, and Eric, and everyone. Josh. We thank you for that. And these invitational cards that we have to give to you. I want to make it easy for you to be able to give them something and say, here it is, save the date for this. We want to help you. In addition, we hope that we can do these October 29th like events. If it goes well, maybe two, maybe three times a year. You know, and to make every Sunday a place where people can get along. The problem is that people are not going to show up on their own. research shows, and I believe it myself, that the likeliness of someone who doesn't go to church or doesn't, you know, follow a certain religion, actually show up to a place of worship on a Sunday by themselves is very, very small. It's minute. People are only going to come if they come in the arm of somebody who they know and trust. Right? That's the truth of the matter. So we only have like a 0.2% response to those invitations that we mail out. But you would have a huge response to your personal invitation. So we're asking to do that. And I hope that we see all the efforts leading up to October 29th as those efforts to help you, because we have a heart for the lost, just like Jesus. And we want to reach them. And so I just want to encourage you all, leading up to that, that we are about to experience the fruit of a lot of very, very hard labor. And I think that if we can reach out to those people, the lost sheep, Jesus will smile on us again. And Jesus will restore his lampstand and restore his anointing to this church. And I'm excited for that. And he's been challenging myself even for reaching out. And so I just want us to pray now together and ask God to help us in that. Because we know only he can change the heart of someone, only he can draw people in, only he can empower us to invite people in a way that's organic and effective. Let's ask God for his help right now. Lord, you're so good to us. We've witnessed that time and time again. And we know that you are the good shepherd who goes out and you find the wandering sheep and you pick them up and you put that sheep on your shoulder and you walk them back, even though you left the 99 behind, because that is how much you care for those who have wandered from you. Oh Lord Jesus, give us that heart. Help us to be more like you, friend of sinners. One who is eating and associated with them and went through great lengths because he said it's the sick that need a doctor, not the healthy. Oh, Jesus, give us that heart. And Jesus, begin even now through the power of your Holy Spirit to be softening the soil of people's hearts. Lord, when we pray for these invitations, they go up to 18,000 that we're mailing out to young families. Lord, prepare their hearts that when they get that they would see it, that they would read it, that it would touch a place in their heart, that they would want to come, that they would respond, that you would give us, Lord, the courage and, like, of who to ask. Give us, first, Lord, the information. Who is it we should ask? And then prepare their hearts, and then we do ask them, give us the courage to ask them, the words to say, and then give them a receptivity to what we're asking them. Lord, we pray for this because we know that you can do this. And Lord, we pray for the goal of the marketing team, and that is to see 10 new young families who don't know Jesus to come to this church on October 29th, which is, we are praying for them. We take hold of that now with our authority in Christ Jesus, because we know that is a promise you've given us, and that you've promised that you will prosper us and not harm us. And so we thank you, Lord, that you have already done it, and that you knew what we were going to ask for before we even did, and you were already going before us doing this good work. So draw them in, Lord, as you already started to do. Draw them in so that you would get the glory. And when that happens, may we never take the glory, but always give it to you. And we pray all these things because we know that you hear us, and we know that you love us, we know that you have a purpose for us, and we know that you love the lost. And you're just waiting on us to pray so that you can say, yes, partner with me in what I'm doing. And so we're praying, Lord, knowing that you hear us, and that you're powerful to do all that we ask, even more. In Jesus' name.